From North State Public Radio, I'm Alex Dutson with your headlines for Friday, November 18th. The city airport in Chico is getting a new name. The Chico City Council this week voted to rename the Chico Municipal Airport to Chico Regional Airport. City officials say the rebranding is part of an effort to attract an airline and re-establish commercial flights. The city will request the name change with the FAA. The airport's location identifier will remain CIC. City officials say to attract an airline, the city must first establish an airport revenue guarantee fund and raise a minimum of $1 million. They say half that amount is available from a Department of Transportation grant. The rest must be raised by airport users and the community. Costs associated with the name change, such as changing signage and literature, are estimated between $5,000 and $8,000. California Health and Human Services Secretary Dr. Mark Galli says hospitals across California are working at capacity amid an unusual season for respiratory viruses. He says surges of the flu and respiratory virus RSV have arrived earlier than in previous years. Meanwhile, COVID cases are also ticking up with the arrival of colder weather. In a briefing with reporters, Galli said the COVID positivity rate climbed 25% over the past few weeks.
Although the models aren't nearly as concerning as they've been in the past, we are dealing with three threats at once, so together they do add up.
Galli said families with very young children should be cautious next week during the Thanksgiving break. He added the state is still recommending masking and being careful when gathering. A nonprofit homeless aid group in Chico is working to open temporary shelters next month. Safe Space Winter Shelter partners with churches across Chico to use their buildings as temporary shelters for unhoused residents in the area. They also provide meals, clothing, and case management. This week, the organization began accepting volunteers to fill a variety of positions in preparation for the opening of their temporary winter shelter. Hillary Crosby is the executive director of Safe Space.
Our logistics require us to have a bunch of different crews. So we have a morning crew that comes and helps people get out the door and transported back down to a downtown location. We have an evening crew that helps people get settled in for the night, as well as helping with food and distribution and that kind of thing. We have an intake crew that helps people get registered and gets, and then the property crew that helps store their property.
In addition to volunteers, she says Safe Space is also in need of donated supplies.
We always need hygiene supplies as well as socks, underwear, and then also breakfast items. Breakfast is something that we have to get out the door pretty quick, but we do like to send people with like a little bag of stuff that for the mornings.
Safe Space plans to have the shelter open on December 18th. In the meantime, as temperatures continue to drop, Crosby says Safe Space has a street outreach team working in the community to connect residents in need to other shelters and services in the area. Lake Tahoe says tourists are welcome despite finding itself on Fodor's no list for 2023. The California Report's Mari Bolaños has more.
The travel guide company described the list as the top 10 regions to reconsider when you're planning a vacation. It's not that Fodor's dislikes skiing in the Sierra or tubing on the lake. It's actually the opposite. Too many people love it there, and pollution is literally muddying the water and dirtying the air. But Heidi Hildrum, CEO of Tahoe Prosperity, a regional economic development agency, says tourism and the environment can coexist.
If you think of Tahoe as a place that you love to visit and want to come back, then, you know, when you are here, be mindful. Take transit. Walk to the restaurant nearby. You know, do what you can to, you know, leave no trace.
She says it's all about balance.
Tourism will always be an important part of our economy, but it doesn't have to be 62% of our economy, which is currently what it represents. It used to be 42% of our economy, which is, I think, more reasonable and in line with a good, diverse, and healthy local economy.
Lake Tahoe is in good company. Also on the no list is Antarctica, Italy's Amalfi Coast, Amsterdam, and Mendocino.
That was the California Report's Mari Bolaños. California released its latest climate change plan to dramatically reduce greenhouse gas emissions yesterday. For the California Report, KQED's Kevin Stark reports.
You can think of this plan as a roadmap for how California could essentially zero out greenhouse gas emissions in a little more than two decades. The plan calls for slashing emissions by 48% by 2030, based on 1990 levels. Energy analysts say that's a more aggressive target than what President Biden's proposed for the country. Lauren Sanchez is climate advisor to Governor Gavin Newsom.
This plan will indeed be very difficult to achieve because of the scale of the task and the speed with which it needs to be delivered. But the governor will not take failure as an option, and neither should any of us.
Newsom pushed the state's Air Resources Board to move faster after it released a draft plan earlier this year. Included in the latest version is the state's mandate to phase out the sale of new gasoline-powered cars. If realized, California's climate plan could transform daily life in the nation's most populous state. 7 million existing homes and commercial buildings that use fuel for heating and cooking would have to switch to electric in a little more than a decade. The backbone of the plan is a cleaner, more robust power grid. It includes a commitment to stop building gas power plants, quadruple wind and solar generation, all while doubling the state's capacity to produce electricity. That won't be easy. The state narrowly avoided rolling blackouts this year after demand nearly surpassed supply during a heat wave that baked the state for 10 days. Leanne Randolph is the state's top air regulator.
We need to take action to reduce the worst impacts of a changing climate, and there is only one way to do that. Break forever our dependence on fossil fuels, the harsh grip of petroleum, and move as fast as we can to a clean energy economy.
Randolph says this plan could drive the state's economy forward, creating an estimated 4 million jobs, and address one of the state's persistent environmental problems, punishing smog.
And by rapidly shifting away from fossil fuels, the plan delivers public health benefits to everyone in California, and most importantly, to those communities suffering from persistent air pollution.
The state estimates it would cut air pollution by 71% and save Californians $200 billion in health care costs due to pollution. For the California Report, I'm Kevin Stark.
After two decades as the leader of the Democratic Party in Congress, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she is stepping down. The Congresswoman from San Francisco says it's time for a new generation to take over. Marisa Lagos is a correspondent for KQED's California Politics and Government Desk and co-hosts a weekly show and podcast, Political Breakdown. She joined Cap Radio's Randall White to talk about Pelosi's historic run.
Marisa, there's been speculation about what Speaker Pelosi's next move might be following the attack on her husband last month at their home in San Francisco. Did this announcement to step down take you by surprise?
Well, not knowing what we know now, I feel like in some ways that horrific attack on Paul Pelosi might have actually strengthened the now former speaker's decision to stay in Congress, which she is doing, right? She's not giving up her seat. She had promised in 2018 that she would step down as leader after this session. I think that there was a lot of curiosity over whether she would want to stay in Congress if she was not in leadership. It seems like she does want to stay there, and whether that is just because she would like to continue to sort of put it to someone like incoming Speaker Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans, or really help what is going to be a very different group of leaders. The top three lawmakers in conversations are all in their 40s and 50s compared to Pelosi and her deputies who are in their 80s.
Speaking of her seat, she just overwhelmingly won re-election, getting more than 8 in 10 votes in her district. She's very popular there in the city and an icon for some nationally, but also a target of everything that those on the right dislike about her party.
And about San Francisco, let's be honest. I mean, she really is a character for Republicans. But, you know, that's one of the reasons Pelosi's been so effective. I mean, she has often not been liberal enough for this very liberal city, but that's because she's not often actually talking publicly about her personal position in politics. She's trying to bring her caucus along. You know, she's told her members, win, baby, win. And if you need to campaign against me to do that, that is fine. And so I think that that has often gotten her goodwill, even among members who might publicly be a little more critical of her politics.
Pelosi became the first female speaker in 2007, and then some in her party questioned whether she was the right person to become speaker again when the Democrats regained control of Congress under then-President Trump. But She had some moments that cleared that concern up for many, wouldn't you say?
First of all, re-winning the majority in 2018 was a big feather in her cap. But I think her dealings with Trump, there was a couple of photos and conversations that really went viral. Her really standing up to the former president. And then she just has been very effective at keeping the party together and doing the job of both whipping votes and making sure that her members were sort of happy. So, you know, part of that 2018 election was her promise that it would be a four-year stint. But I do think a lot of folks, even who were kind of agitating for her to step down, also recognize just what a master legislator she is. And let's be clear, she's also an incredible fundraiser, which is what it often takes to win elections.
I can't wrap up this conversation without asking you what people are saying regarding who could take her place in January as House Minority Leader.
Yeah, well, it seems like Hakeem Jeffries of New York really is sort of emerging as the main contender. But among the three kind of top Democrats rising, in addition to Jeffries, Catherine Clark of Massachusetts and a Californian, Pete Aguilar from Southern California, are widely expected at this point to seek the top three spots, and I haven't seen anything indicating that they have any strong challenges.
KQED politics correspondent Marisa Lagos speaking with CAP Radio's Randall White. And those are your headlines for Friday, November 18th. Our theme song is Burrow and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. You can also read a newsletter-style rundown of headlines on our website at mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Alex Stutson.